amusing. Your one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. I'm Carly Wiesel, and I'm coming to you fresh off a Disney-filled week. Yeah, I got back from a cruise on Monday, and what did I do? Sit down and do all the work I had to do? Go through the pile of paper on my desk that's full of bills and 1099s I don't think I've sent to my accountant? Nah, I didn't touch any of it. I went to Disneyland not one, but 2 days in a row. 2 days in a row. One day I brought Pearl. Pearl watched a lot of Cars movies on our Disney cruise, so I wanted to bring her to Cars Land now that she's really, really familiar with the characters. Then the next day, I had lunch with my dear friend Becky of Mouse Fan Travel, who I talk about all the time. Again, love them, mousefantravel.com/amusing. We love Becky. We love everything she does. Becky's company helped plan my trip. Because planning a cruise, oh my God, you need an expert for it. Like, I won't get into it now, but there's so much. I talked about it last week, but like, I can't recommend it enough. I had so many yummy Disney foods, yummy Disney snacks. I got Starbucks with lavender cold foam. And again, I don't know what it is, but Starbucks at a theme park, it's just like three levels above a regular Starbucks. It's just more special. What can I say? It's just been a really nice week. And I am on the verge of doing a lot of traveling. And in that, I am planning some restaurants for Disney World, which is how I got to this episode. I could have sworn I did this recently. If we've done this episode, it was 3 to 4 years ago, so it warrants an update. But I looked back in the feed and scrolled and was like, how have we not done an episode about the one thing I'm dying to talk about this week? So we're here. We're talking about my favorite Disney World restaurants, because again, I'm going on a short trip in a few weeks. I'm showing a friend around. I only have like one little window to choose some restaurants, and they are going to be from this list, guaranteed. That's basically everything that's happening in my world. I had 2 birthday parties. I've been doing a lot, eating a lot, going out to a lot of breakfasts. Rare for me to go out to breakfast, but like having some good eggs, you know, the ones with like the orange yolk, that's when you know they're good. They're real good. And also like eggs, a luxury item now. Ooh, I like to eat them out because I'm like, I don't want to waste the ones in the fridge that we have to save for Pearl. Like, I really want to eat out. Speaking of saving food for a kid. Oh my God. Speaking of kid, I completely forgot to thank you for your patience and your kindness in letting me have Pearl do the intro last week. I thought it would be funny and like a goofy, silly surprise for an episode tied to her birthday. Not realizing that, I'm the only one who understands what she's saying because I'm her parent and everyone else just heard her say gibberish at the beginning of an episode when they were expecting something very, very different. Forgot about that. Very sorry. I hope you enjoyed it a little. And if not, I hope the 15-second skip ahead button worked well. That's all I gotta say. I feel bad. Even my mom was like, what is she saying? And I'm like, Mom, you listen to this podcast every week. You understand what Pearl's saying on the phone. I was really worried about torturing you all out there for a minute. So I hope it was okay. And I thank you for listening to that episode and this one. Because, I love recommending restaurants. I love it. Stick around. We have so much fun ahead. I can't wait to talk to you more. Okay, I'll see you in a few minutes. Bye.
Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta could make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at Kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
Everyone's talking about AI these days, right? This season on Compiler, we're diving deep into how AI is reshaping the world we live in. Join us for a new season of Compiler, an original podcast from Red Hat. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts.
Taxes was feeling so stuck. Sitting in traffic, squeezing into a parking spot, all to squeeze in getting tax help during your lunch break. Now Taxes is a TurboTax expert who does your taxes for you, while you go about your day getting real-time notifications about their progress and the most money back guaranteed. Now this is Taxes, Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service, real-time updates only in iOS mobile apps. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.
Come everyone, come all to my episode about my favorite Disney World restaurants. Now, I gotta tell you right from the jump, this is not the best Disney World restaurants. This is not an end-all, be-all list of the classics, which is a caveat I need to include from the beginning as someone who has been cyberbullied for a ranking of the best Disney rides. Oh yeah, it was wild. They were dragging me in Facebook groups because of a story I wrote for Travel and Leisure a zillion years ago. And my public journalist, audience facing, third party, written for a magazine, website, those type of stories are kind of a little more general than my personal point of view. Because if we're ranking the best Disney World rides or restaurants, there are certain factors I'd want to hit. I'd want to include a little of everything for whatever guest might be listening, for whatever experience. Is it your first trip? Is it your 100th? You have to balance all of those factors. This is my favorite Disney World restaurants. These are the ones I highly recommend to you as a friend, as a close confidant, that I think that you should spend your hard-earned vacation dollars on. So please know, if your favorite is not on this list, it is not a slight, because there are many restaurants at Disney World that I will recommend to you professionally, ones that I stand behind, but ones that I don't really go to myself. Steakhouse 71 has an incredible burger. Oh my God, that burger is so good. And I recommend it, of course. But when I'm at Disney World, I don't want to be a stone's throw from the Magic Kingdom and have absolutely no view of it. Like, to me, I can't sit through that meal knowing the park is right there and I can't see it. What can I say? I love a window, so I just don't end up there as often as I probably should, because that burger is incredible. Lately, my trips are shorter, I'm carting a small child around, and a lot of places are just not working for me in this current season of life, as people typically refer to this age, which gross, but I don't know what else, I don't know what other phrase to use. I mean, a place like Sanaa for their bread service, fantastic, but it's too tricky for me right now on the trips that I'm going on to juggle getting there with a park day and naps. It's just one too many stops. There's also a few places on this list that I haven't been in a minute because I kind of save it for a rare adult-only trip. But regardless, everything I'm mentioning I think is fantastic, because if I'm dining somewhere at Disney World, if I'm spending money at Disney World, I want the food to be good and I want the experience to be as good, if not better. So I hope if there's anything on this list that you have not been to maybe ever or in a long, long time, maybe you reconsider it. Maybe you just give it another chance on your next visit. So with that, let's get started. We begin at Epcot with Beer Garden. Oh yeah, immediate inclusion to the top of the favorites list. This is not ranked, but I gotta be gabbing about Beer Garden from the start. It took me a lifetime to get here, and I wouldn't have gone without my friend Brandon because I just kept forgetting to go. But oh my God, we need to be talking about Beer Garden more. It was exactly what you want from an Epcot restaurant. It had the theming of Epcot inside. So even though you couldn't see Epcot, you still felt like you were somewhere special. It almost felt like you were inside an attraction queue for an hour and a half, but in a good way. Not in like a, oh no, is it broken down? I'm not going to know until around this turn kind of way. In a true like, wow, I'm just like immersed in a theme. And that is why I loved it. The polka band was wonderful. The food was spectacular. I'd only really read kind of middling stuff on it and people being like, the apple strudel's the best. I didn't even eat that much apple strudel because I was loading up on salads and veggies and sausages and meats and chicken. Like, there was so much food and so much to choose from. A lot of stuff that you don't usually get. And I think sometimes at a Disney restaurant when there's stuff like that, people are like I'm used to the stuff that I come to Disney World for. But they had that too. They had mac and cheese. They had really good fish. They had great chicken. There was just like a lot of things there that I don't end up usually ordering. And I loved, again, I loved, loved the food. Also, if you are as, I don't want to call it Disney-pilled, but if you are as obsessed with this stuff as I am, which you probably are because we're all like hanging out right now thinking about it, they had both buffet lines open. And I usually feel like there's always one buffet line open and there's one sad one that's closed that reminds you of like, oh yeah, Disney's trying to, you know, be mindful of profits and like not, you know, like everything's like shrunk, 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 squeeze, squeeze, squeeze. They had both buffet lines open. People showed up later. There was like a lot of people there. It was great. It was such a wonderful experience. It was also air-conditioned. But here's the problem. A lot of times, especially at Epcot, walk in that loop, you're going to be boiling hot by lunchtime and you want to sit down and rest. But sometimes I feel like that sit down and rest is also a break from the theming of why you came here. And I don't want a break from the theming. I want to be in it. Like, I want to be going from, like, theme to theme to theme to theme. And modern Epcot is a little more stark and modern and doesn't always provide that. But here, you have an air-conditioned space that is as themed. You walk in, Bavarian Village, live entertainment, and it's not like they're just playing songs and then walking off stage. They're doing different instruments. They're doing different stuff. You come down and dance for some of it. You're all cheersing. Like, it truly was a well-rounded 360-degree experience. And I at no point felt like I was breaking from the fun of theme park to sit and eat. It felt like, wow, the fun of the theme park is really alive in this restaurant. Again, if you haven't been, like I hadn't, you haven't been in a while, go to Beer Garden. And also, like, the restrooms feel very 90s Disney. That's the only way I can describe it. It just feels like, oh, like a little touch of nostalgia, and it's so lovely. Now, similarly, somewhere else I love that doesn't really provide that, but just provides really great food, is, of course, Via Napoli. Now, I love Via Napoli at Epcot in the Italy Pavilion so much that it has made me bad at my job. It is my job to go out and check in on places I haven't been to in a while, try something new, go to a new restaurant, see what a new menu is. But no, I can't. I can't collect $200, whatever that thing is. I haven't played Monopoly in a very long time. I feel like I can't walk past Via Napoli without being like, I should be there. That's why I always end up at Via Napoli. Now, even still, the interior of this place, not my favorite. It has a little bit too much of a cafeteria feel, but the food is so good that it's good enough for me. They have a lot of stuff on the menu, but you're coming here for the Neapolitan pizza. I mean, listen to the way they describe it. I have to use their words on the website. The thin crust pizzas are made with fresh mozzarella cheese, San Marzano tomatoes, and real caputo flour imported from southern Italy. Water for the dough is even sourced from a spring similar to Italy's Campania region. Like, they are hitting all the pizza marks. And it shows. This is the only place I will eat pizza at Walt Disney World. They have a lot of set ones. I do the choose your own pizza, but beware, buyer beware, it adds up. And I'm sure most of you remember there was a viral tweet like 9 years ago, which I can't even talk about Via Napoli without thinking of, where someone put a ton of toppings on their pizza and it cost a lot of money and they kind of freaked out. I get it. Listen, I don't side with them, but like, I get it. It really, they charge a handful of dollars for each topping. And when you love a topping, when you want a pizza that's essentially a salad pizza like I do, it can be tough. But they have really good fresh ingredients. They have Fontina cheese, anchovies, cherry tomatoes, artichokes, arugula, red peppers. Like, they have all these things you can put on a pizza that you can't always find. And I just love it there so much. I have slept on the fried mozzarella bites. I feel like there was a moment when we were all talking about Disney food a lot, when it was like cupcake time, meh. I feel like we talked about those little fried mozzarella bites a lot. I haven't gotten them in a while. I gotta get them the next time I'm back. But again, it is a true repeater, which I love. It is a reliable Disney World restaurant, which every time I go to, I'm like, yeah, that was delicious. That was delicious. And sometimes in the middle or the end of a day, you just need to eat a whole personal pizza. You just need it. It requires a lot of energy to get through Epcot. And for that, I love Via Napoli. Now, we can't talk about Epcot restaurants I love without mentioning, of course, Shikisai Izakaya, a place that I have yelled about on this mic many, many times before. Just because it is fascinating that there is a sushi restaurant in Epcot that is actually really, really wonderful. Now, as much as I have raved about this place, I've been there 4 times at this point, it just felt a little different the last time I was there. I need to go back in, I need to check it out again, but it just felt a little different. And that's a thing that sometimes happens with new Disney restaurants. Was it off that day? I don't know. Was it that the restaurant is kind of changing and morphing a little the longer it's open? Possibly. The menu was still just as vast, the food was still great, but it was a little different. The sushi was a little different. The tempura was a little different. It wasn't served with the spicy salt it's usually served with. Again, it's just something I have to keep mindful of. If you have an experience there, good or bad, please give me a call on the Churros hotline. I need to stay on top of it because I love this place so much that I want to make sure it's worthy of being included in the favorites. But really, even if you don't eat sushi, I think this place is a fantastic option because There's so much variety in this menu. It's not a typical appetizer, entree, dessert menu. They have so many small plates because that's what an izakaya offers. They have little plates like yakitori skewers, little bites of things. Basically anything you're jealous of someone eating while they're in Tokyo on vacation and posting on Instagram and TikTok. Anything you want that they have, you can kind of sort of find here. They have really good high quality Wagyu beef. They have duck udon. They have, I've never said this out loud. They have okonomiyaki. Those, the fried thing. Like they have so much stuff. Also, fried thing is not specific. It is a pancake that they're in different ingredients in there. It's great. Everything they have is great. Again, my favorite is this shirashi, which is just a bowl of rice with fish on it. They took a big scoop in the ocean and dumped it on rice. That's what I like to eat there. But the tempura is great. I just recommend it. And especially if you want a little bit of different things, you don't want a whole sit down meal because a lot of food can be heavy during the day. And if you don't want that, you want to just keep going in the heat. I think it's great. And this place is not an Epcot restaurant, but it's kind of like transportationally, it's tied to it. So I think it's fine. But next up, we're going to Topolino's Terrace. I have only been here for breakfast, which we will talk about momentarily. But once again, if I'm spending $52 a person on breakfast, I want it to be special. I want it to feel like a heightened experience. And Topolino's Terrace delivers. Not only are the character meetings great because of the setup of the restaurant, it's just nice. Not only are the costumes fantastic, not only is the room airy and bright because of the windows, it's just lovely, but also it just kind of feels like Mother's Day brunch every time I'm here. Like an Easter brunch, a Mother's Day brunch, you know, like a special brunch that you go to. It's different from just going to eat on a Saturday or Sunday. That's what Topolino's Terrace feels like to me. It feels like a country club brunch. It just feels special. And while the food is not my all-time favorite, I think it's very good. I think the portions on some of the dishes is actually kind of small for the price. Last time I mentioned on the podcast before, I left kind of hungry. It still remains my favorite breakfast. I think there are many reasons to love and to try to go to this place. That's why it's so popular for character breakfast, because it is fantastic. And while I do love the Four Seasons Ravello character breakfast, which is offered a few times a week, I used to call it my favorite. This place beat it out. Also, Ravello, great food, fantastic food. Love to be at the Four Seasons. Breath of fresh air. The costumes are terrible. The character costumes are terrible. It looks like they're all going golfing and like not in a good way. But still, I like that. I like them both. But there you have to get up, and like getting up at a buffet is kind of a drag. And I hesitate to say that because I just said I loved Beer Garden, but there is no miss the character stress when it comes to that. Something about the Four Seasons, like before it was table service for a minute, it was great. And now you gotta go to the buffet, yada, yada, yada. Topolino's Terrace is it. And if not, I'm gonna direct you to Ravello because I also think it's fantastic. But I have not been to Topolino's Terrace for dinner. I really, really need to go. And the thing is, it's kind of expensive. I've heard it's wonderful, but let me pull up the menu. Okay. I mean, I glanced at it because I was maybe going to bring Pearl on my last trip. And the filet is $62. The striped bass is $51. The least expensive entree is a cabbage dish, which, no offense, but impossible sausage and cabbage is really not what I'm coming on a theme park vacation for. I understand. I'm glad. It's a seemingly vegan dish. That's fantastic. But cabbage is like a food I eat at home when I need nutrients, not when I'm balling out with family. So beyond that one, the least expensive entree is a $42 rigatoni. So things add up quick. They have enhancements like roasted oysters. They have a uni sea urchin tomato bisque. Like this is a fancy, fancy restaurant. I have not had an opportunity to spend that evening there yet, but I heard it's wonderful and it is next on my list. We have a ton more restaurants to discuss with you. We'll be right back after this break. Stick around. There's one I'm excited to tell you about. There's one I'm excited to tell you about. Stick around. We will be right back. And I just have to tell you, if you are listening to this outside of a mealtime, I'm really sorry because I'm recording this like an hour and a half before I'm going out to lunch. And I'm just like amping myself up to order everything. Like I can't wait to eat after talking about this. So I hope grab yourself like a granola bar if it's just the middle of the day. It's hard to talk about food And then not be like, I need to eat food immediately. Like, my husband always wants to watch Food Network stuff when we're eating dinner. And I'm like, I can't, my brain can't do that. I can't watch Guy Fieri. I can't watch Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives while I'm eating a sandwich. Like, it's not, if he's, you know what I mean? I mean, he shows sandwiches. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Okay, back to the episode. Anyway, we're back from break. And of course, we're starting strong with Wine Bar George, a longtime favorite from me, probably my all-time favorite, like, forever restaurant at Disney World, because everything on the menu is great. Everything is great. It's just like, you know, like when you're here, your family, that's how I actually feel at Wine Bar George. The hospitality, the service, both excellent. The small pours that they offer of expensive wine, if you're a wine person and you want something like really, really nice, but you don't want to have to order a whole bottle of it, what a wonderful feature. The brunch, raved about, even if I'm not a brunch person. Yeah, I said at the start of the episode, I'm eating a lot of eggs. That's on weekdays. Brunch is confusing to me. Eggs at 1 p.m.? I don't know. Sometimes I just don't like it. And I know this is sounding a little off the rails, but we will bring it back because the reason you come here is for the other food, the burrata, the cheese and meat boards, the fried macaroni and cheese bites, one of the all-time great Disney foods. That's all because of George Miliotis. He really slayed. Those are fantastic. I remember when I ate those, it felt, I could feel my life changing. And I recommend the same for you if you haven't had them. They're so good. But really, the huge plates of skirt steak and sea bass, which are tricky if you're only going with one other person, because there's so many other things to eat. And I stress sometimes because I'm like, I gotta get that skirt steak, but I can't have a third of a steak platter in my like beverage cooler in my hotel room for the next 3 days. It's tricky. But if you want to try the steak, go at lunchtime. They have steak frites. They have sandwiches. They have things. You can get the steak at lunch and not get the whole board. But it's hard not to because the steak is so good. I don't eat a lot of steaks because a lot of times I get them and I'm like, it's fine. Here, it is so not fine. It is excellent. And it all pairs so well with one of their many frozen drinks. Dole Whip Orange, Dole Whip Pineapple, Frosé. Just so many light, refreshing cocktails, which are so good in the summer when it is hot in Florida, or the spring or the winter, because you never know, because global warming is upon us. Now, I love Wine Bar George, but I gotta recommend another place, and it's T-Rex. Just kidding, I'm not recommending T-Rex. It is Summer House on the Lake, because we, as Disney fans, are sleeping on Summer House on the Lake. As a Let Us Entertain You stan from the Chicagoland area, this company has yielded the restaurants of my youth. Almost every single good restaurant in Chicago that has been there a long time that you have grown up with, like I have, is by this company, Let Us Entertain You. Like lettuce, spelled like salad lettuce. Let Us Entertain You. Isn't that cute? So you can't help but love them. And they were out here kind of low-key excelling at themed-ish restaurants earlier than everyone else got on board. There are so many different versions of restaurants that they have that I have loved. And now to have one, the first one at Walt Disney World, is Summer House on the Lake. And it is great. As you can imagine, I showed up there with the highest of high expectations. Like, someone coming from knowing this restaurant company's portfolio and showing up, I was right. I needed to be impressed. And they met and exceeded my expectations. There is just so much on the menu for different people, depending on what you want. They have pizza. They have crab cakes. They have fish dip. They have guacamole. They have a spicy kale Caesar. I went at nighttime on like a colder night and I sat outside. We had fresh air. There were heaters blaring in like the good way when you're cold and you're like, ah, soak it up. It was just the loveliest night. I went with my mom. I've talked about it before. I can't wait to get back here because it's so good. But mostly what you hear about this place is the cookie bar. But the cookie bar, you can walk up and buy cookies. You can get brown butter Rice Krispie treats, which I've had, which are great. My friend Zach recommended those. Hi, Zach, if you're listening. But really, if you sit down and you have their wonderful food at the end, you can get the cookie bar cookies served hot. You can get them served hot. And it's not the same as putting them in a microwave, because I've done that too, and they're also great. But getting that wild Thai banana cookie served warm, or you can get a chocolate chip or crispy chocolate or sea salt chocolate chip with ice cream. Just give it a shot. Just give it a shot on your next vacation. If you're looking for somewhere that's a little different, it's a little new, that's pretty great, I think you'll like it. I recommend. Let me know if you like it. If you hated it, I want to know that too, honestly. But Let Us Entertain You has basically never disappointed me in my entire life. And I've been eating at their restaurants. My parents have been taking me to their restaurants since I was probably 5. So I stand behind them. And I just think Summer House is a really, really great spot. Really shouldn't have recorded this without having that Wild Thai banana cookie next to me, because ooh, that's maybe one of the best cookies I've ever had. Also, to that point, I posted about it a long time ago. The chef who invented the cookie found my video and commented on it. And I was like, you invented the cookie! You made the best cookie. It tastes like Hawaii banana bread, that sweet banana bread that you get there. And you're like, why don't I have banana bread at home? Then you make it at home and it's not as good. Summer House on the Lake. That's all I'm going to say. You got to go. A classic up next. 50s primetime, despite the fact that I'm almost never in the mood for food on the menu here. I can't turn my back on it when we're talking about my favorites. It would be at the top of Walt Disney World's best restaurant list. But for me, again, I'm just not always craving what they're putting down. But as the last vestiges of old school Disney's Hollywood Studios are pulled from us, we simply need to champion the ones that remain. I'm going to Sci-Fi Dine in a few weeks, so that's got a pin in it until then. I don't want to say it's my favorite, and then I go in a few weeks, and I'm like, oh no, the whole episode needs to be edited. So, Sci-Fi Dine, adjacent to this, cousin, related, also just as fun. Put it on the side. Got to see what the menu's like right now. But this place, the menu does not fully overhaul that much. So it is getting included, full stop, 100%. I mean, we got the classics. We got meatloaf, pot pie, pot roast, fried chicken, pork chop. But most importantly, we have the attitude of the servers, which really extends the theme of the restaurant beyond just the food and decor. And in preparing this podcast, I was obviously overthinking it. And I was like, why? What makes this place so special? And I think what it is that this is something Disney has tried to do other times. Case in point, if you've listened to any word I've said on this podcast in the past few weeks, you know that I am stressed out about shopping. We basically did a full episode about it. But you know who is solving that problem for me? You know who is solving that problem? Quince. Quince is making shopping so easy, so convenient, and really rectifying what a lot of other retailers are doing, where you order a lot of stuff and you try it on and it's not good. With Quince, everything you try on is going to be a hit. I mean, who doesn't love the good things in life? Even though I do enjoy a little luxury, but not so much the price tag, I am able to have the best of both worlds with Quince, because Quince is my go-to for luxury essentials at affordable prices. Quince offers a range of high-quality items at prices within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters from $50, what a sentence, washable silk tops and dresses, organic cotton sweaters, and 14-karat gold jewelry. A fantastic reminder, because everyone's wearing all those little necklaces, like multiple chains. I don't know who, like, explained to them how to get different lengths, but I'm going on Quince, and that's the next thing I'm going to buy on Quince, is that I'm going to get more gold jewelry, because I need to balance my bean necklace out. Thank you, Quince. Thank you. I forgot about that. And the best part is, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. They also only work with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. But you know what else I love? The unitard I got from Quince. Okay, I have been talking about this nonstop. The unitard I bought from Quince. It is like exercise leggings connected to an exercise tank top. It has a built-in shelf bra, and it has this seaming that makes you feel like really aerodynamic when you're doing fitness stuff. I love it because I wear it under a big sweater. I feel like I'm hiding a little secret that, oh, I'm not wearing layers. I'm wearing one garment. It is fantastic. I put it on and strutted around the house when I first bought it, and I wear it kind of every 5 or 6 days. Again, everything I've bought from Quince has been an essential that will keep me going month after month, year after year, because their stuff is really great and really high quality and so well priced. So give yourself the luxury you deserve with Quince. Go to quince.com/amusing for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's an entire year to decide if you want to keep it. That's amazing. That's quince.com, quince.com/amusing to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/amusing. And check out the unitard. It's so good. We are so back, because we are back with Armoire, which makes getting dressed easy. A clothing rental membership from Armoire lets you build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. And when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new-to-you styles. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet that show up at your door in as little as 2 days. But honestly, I love to browse on Armoire, because looking through the pants and skirts and jackets and blazers is kind of like guilt-free shopping. Really, if you're anything like me, a busy mom who travels a lot and has an natural attachment and love for her clothes. Filling in the gaps in your wardrobe that you need to fill can be so challenging. It's just so much pressure to buy something, wear it once, realize it really doesn't work for you, and then feel the weight of guilt over contributing to waste or having it just sit in your closet for years and years and years until that pressure just kind of dissipates and it's just an object you're used to seeing. Or feeling bad about the fact that you spent money you could have spent on something else, like Armoire, and instead spent it on this thing you no longer want. My closet became such a place of stress and uncertainty in the different stages of my pregnancy and postpartum life. And giving new styles and silhouettes a test run, and looking great while doing it, makes Armoire an absolute must when it comes to finding or redefining your personal style. I just placed my Armoire order, and I'm so excited. I got this chic Reese tailored blazer that fully makes me look like a rich lawyer who's ordering a martini. And then I also got this pair of Farm Rio orange pants that I'm so stoked about. They're like a bright orange. I cannot wait to wear them. I even got a minimal chic little plain black sweater from French Connection. They have everything. And let me tell you, if you want to try something new, whether it's a new style, a new pant length, or even a new color, they simply have got it. Right now, my listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/amusing. That's armoire.style, armoire.style/amusing to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. That's armoire.style/amusing.
Everyone's talking about AI these days, right? This season on Compiler, we're diving deep into how AI is reshaping the world we live in. Join us for a new season of Compiler, an original podcast from Red Hat. Subscribe now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta could make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at Kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. They tried to have the cast members be a part of the story. But when it comes to that, when it comes to them adopting different language, really like taking on a persona and talking to people, that felt a little more like they were relying on employees to live out the entertainment of the land, because as we know, a lot of the entertainment was not there when they opened. A lot of stuff could have been there, and it just was not. Here, however, it's just dialing it up a little. It's really just reinforcing what the restaurant is. It's not expecting cast members to be anything else, to be professional actors, to take on a storyline. They are just reinforcing what you're eating and what you're seeing around you. And in this specific case, inside this restaurant, it just enhances the theming so much more beyond the food, beyond the decor. It really just gives you a more holistic experience that you are at a fun-themed Disney World restaurant. I just think this place is true classic, truly wonderful. The waiting room stresses me out. I will recommend that bar to you. That's a very stressful room. A lot of people will. Not me. I don't want to be in there. I want to be sitting and eating. I don't want to be waiting in that small space where everyone's like, give me my table. I'm hungry. I should do like the most stressful waiting rooms in Disney World. That would be at the top of the list as well. But 50s prime time, heaven on earth. And we got to love it. We got to love it because we still have it. Going kind of the other direction is California Grill. Oh, California Grill's on your favorites list. Shocking. Wow. But here's why. There are many places I've had nice, elegant dinners at Disney World. Flying Fish, Narcoossee's. There's truly an innumerable amount of them. But I feel like if you want something little more than just a great meal, California Grill will always fulfill. It's a special place, and it's one you really don't see unless you're dining there. You know, you gotta check in at that scary booth and be like, I promise I have a reservation, or you have to try to get a table at the lounge. You never know what's gonna happen. And you take that little elevator up, you're in the big A-frame contemporary building. It's undeniably unique and special and doesn't exist anywhere else. And while you can have a really great plate of food or two, kind of a lot of places at Disney World, sometimes you just want the pomp, the elegance, and the exclusivity of a special place. The price tag here is high. It costs $90 a person now? Oh my lord. It is a coursed meal, which I hate, which gives you appetizer, entree, and dessert. And again, I am anti-coursed meal at a restaurant that could easily be serving appetizers and entrees, and I know they're doing that, so you don't show up and order two entrees and drink water, and they don't make as much money as they want to. However, there's people like me who hates the prefix stuff and would end up spending more money if you let me order other stuff. That's what I did at Paolo. I spend way more than that prefix menu because I want to get what I want to get. And I think that, I don't like that you're tapped into $90 and you got to get it. I don't like dessert always. And I got to get a dessert. Prefix is tough for someone who doesn't like dessert. But that aside, even the fact that you got to get all three, like I literally brought my toddler and I had to, it was like a course menu. It's so strange. But regardless, you can end up spending that much money somewhere else and not get the bonus magic of being in that space or have the view or the fireworks. So I do think it is worth it, if not for the fantastic food, but also because it is so much more than just the meal. Sitting there, seeing that view as the sun goes down, catching the fireworks, it's Disney magic. This is one of the last few places where I feel like it's worth it. It is true Disney magic, and I have to recommend it and keep it on my favorites list for that. Now, you can go to the lounge. You can get a drink at the bar, but I'm someone who, when I'm on Disney time, it stresses me to go out of my way somewhere when I don't have a guarantee. So maybe pop out of Magic Kingdom if you want to check that out. I just would be weary to recommend something to someone if they go all the way out of their way and they get there and then they can't do it. But if you can get into California Grill, either way, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. And I don't know if I'm allowed to say this in here, but I gotta include Hoop-Dee-Doo Musical Review. Like, it's kind of a show. It's kind of a restaurant. I don't know if it applies, but it's so perfectly retro Disney. I have to mention it here. I have to mention it. It's like a little aside. It's a fantastic option for if you have a night off or a day off at Disney World where you're not burning a park ticket and you need something fun to do, something to look forward to. This makes a special day out of it. Dress up. Take the family. It's just joyous and wonderful. And in a weird way, like pure. It's like a pure Disney experience that I feel like those things are kind of eroding. And for that, I recommend it because it is just, you are not going to leave that room less happy. No, let me rephrase that. You are going to leave that room happier than you came. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. So I recommend, as always, Hoop-Dee-Doo Review. Now we have got an unexpected inclusion and I'm doing it. Because this is my favorites. This isn't like a ranked list. We're including Nine Dragons. Oh, a curveball, baby. Here's why. I almost said I used to live in LA. I live in LA. I used to live in New York. And what living in those major cities has in common with Walt Disney World is that there are many expensive, glamorous, fancy, hard to get reservations, many fantastic, renowned restaurants. And those can be really hard to get into. And sometimes it's really nice to have like a local spot, a place just in your pocket that you can go to pretty easily if you want to. And for me, I'm calling that Nine Dragons. We all joke about this place because a lot of people don't come here. But you know what? You know, if I ever actually made like the thousands of videos that I intend to when I'm at Disney World and I come home and I'm like, time is a construct. If I actually made them, you would know they have really good food here. I mean, the appetizer menu is full of wontons, spring rolls, dumplings, lots of snacky foods that are really good when you're tired from the park. And also a lot of people will get into and will share. But the actual entrees? Incredible. I had this Sichuan beef that was so spicy. They were like, it was very spicy. I was like, give it to me. It was as spicy as the food I had in actual China, not Epcot China, China. The kids menu has crispy honey chicken, which I ordered for Pearl and I stole for myself. It was fantastic. But listen to some of these entrees. Like, it's better than you're remembering. Glazed prawns with pistachios, dry braised prawns, Canton pepper beef stir fry, spare ribs, spicy mala happy family. Like, they redid the menu, must have been maybe like 9 months ago, something like that. And I'm very impressed and I recommend it. If you're kind of like hungry and you're like, what do we do? Try Nine Dragons. Give it a try. Keep it on your radar. That's what I'm saying. Keep it on your radar. You might like it more than you're anticipating. You might like it more than you thought you would. A lot of people I don't know, they make fun of this place, and I made fun of this place too, until my friend Kendall, I have to thank her. She's like, you should be going to Nine Dragons. It's really good. We go there all the time. And I went, and boy, was Kendall right. So thank you, Kendall, because now Nine Dragons is on my favorites list. And then last but really not least, because there's a bonus something at the end, Olivia's Cafe. What a wonderful restaurant. As I've talked about before, Disney's Old Key West is a completely different kind of Disney hotel. Disney Vacation Club hotels, which Old Key West is, always have a different vibe to them because people usually have been to Disney World before. They know they're going to come back. And the vibe is calmer. It's chiller. It's more vacation than a regular Disney hotel. Regular Disney hotel, you have some people who are there for one day. People who it's their first visit ever. And there's a lot of pressure and a lot of rushing and a lot of chaos. DVC members, they know their way around. They're just doing whatever they want. This is their regular vacation. And I feel like nowhere is that more true than this strip of stuff at Disney's Old Key West. And, of course, their sit-down restaurant, Olivia's Cafe. The menu is great. The food, fantastic. The conch fritters blew me away. But also they have everything from buttermilk chicken to tofu curry. All of that is paired inside an environment that really drives home the heart of what makes Walt Disney World special. It is filled with memories of people who have bought into Disney Vacation Club, of fellow Disney guests like you and me are just on the wall. This was the first DVC hotel property, and it really retains that warmth because of it. It feels small, it feels contained, and even though the resort itself is pretty sprawling, I still think this place is so special. It is chill, it is relaxed, and you feel so far from the parks, but also so close to what makes Disney magical. And for that, Olivia's will always, always be on my favorites list. We have many honorable mentions, though, because there are a lot of places I haven't been to in a minute, and I don't feel right about including on my favorites list until I go back. So keep these in mind. If you have any thoughts on them, give me a call. Again, I haven't been to these in a minute. They are on my to-do list, and I need to revisit them as soon as possible. These include Tiffin's, my one-time, all-time favorite Disney restaurant. I've dined at Tiffin's more than most people. I would say I have been there over 10 times, but I haven't been there lately. I know the menu changed. I know there's like a burger situation now. I need to check in and revisit it because for years it was my favorite when it opened. And I just need to see again what it's like. Same with Homecoming. I haven't been there in years. I hear it still is great, but I can't knowingly recommend it until I go. As you know, Homecoming is Chef Art Smith's restaurant at Disney Springs. And I'm telling you, like at Disney Springs, now I got Summer House on the Lake. It's hard for me to get back to Homecoming, but I will get there. It is on my list and I will be doing it. Also, Polite Pig. Haven't been there in a while. My mom brought me takeout a couple years ago, brought it back to the hotel when I was taking care of little baby Pearl. And it was fantastic, but I got to go back in to actually see what's happening there. Citricose. I have been sleeping on Citricose because I went to Narcoossee's, thought it was great. I've had drinks at Citricose. They're fantastic, but I haven't had the food there recently enough to recommend. And they are operated next door to Victoria and Albert's. The same person runs their cocktail program. The food there I hear is excellent, and I really, really need to get back. Similarly, but completely different, Garden Grill. I gotta be going to Garden Grill because I always walk past there and I'm like, I don't think I want to be like stuck in this indoor turntable, even though the view of Living with the Land is very promising. I can just go on Living with the Land. I don't need to be in this like weird, like rotating situation. But trip after trip, visit after visit, I look over at Garden Grill and all I'm thinking is not about the food because I don't think I'm gonna, the food there is not, that's not my ideal menu. But I just look over there and I think everyone there is really happy. And I don't feel that way about restaurants a lot. I don't feel like I look over and everyone is smiling and cheerful and delighted. And I think that seeing enough smiles on people's faces the last three or four times I've been to the parks, I've noticed it at Garden Grill. It's planted a seed in my brain. My friend Brandon is also obsessed with Garden Grill, so he has done that too. But I think I gotta do Garden Grill just to really see if that theory holds true. Just to see. Because when I'm at Epcot, I want to be running around. I don't like to be contained. But Garden Grill is up there because of it. Morimoto Asia, fantastic food. I still swear by it. Personally, have not been in a minute. Gotta try the ribs again. The ribs are unbelievable. They're so good. And last but not least, Grand Floridian Cafe. Great food, awful vibe. Awful vibe. There was a minute in, I wanna say 2016 to 2018 when they had this wonderful pancake. My friend Chelsea, Styled by Magic, and I ate there. She told me about the pancake. It had like cranberries in it and pecans, I think. I could easily make these at home. Why haven't I? But they had this beautiful pancake, and then they got rid of it. They got rid of it. And I went back a few times, and I like went for lunch and dinner, and I got macaroni and cheese, and like that was still pretty great. But this place feels very next on the chopping block to me. They've redone a lot of little things at Grand Floridian, and this place feels like they either need to dial it up, like they need to dial up the theming, change it, like reinvent it, or they need to dial it down. They need to make it more granny vibes, more cake bake shop, like more little like cutesy grand, make it more Grand Floridian instead of Enchanted Rose, like completely different theme, fully reinvented. I think they need to double down here and make it as Grand Floridian as possible. Like more ruffles, more patterns, like more retro. I think that would really aid this place a lot. Because while I would love to eat there, I'm not smiling like the people at Garden Grill are at Grand Floridian Cafe. And so I just want a little bit more from this place. I just want a little bit more. Hopefully some of your favorites were on this list. Hopefully some new ones were on this list. And if you have anywhere that you think I absolutely need to dine at when I'm going in a few weeks, let me know. Somewhere I should check back in on that I'd written off, because again, Nine Dragons is on here. Who knows what could be next? Give me a call at 747 Churros. I want to hear your thoughts. All I want to do is gab about food all day with you. So I'm very grateful I get to do that. I love these places. I love these places. And now I'm going to have to eat so much at lunch from all of the, I'm so hungry now. I'm sorry if I did that to you too. But I cannot, oh, I can't wait to be back and to eat all these things. Really, so much of the Disney experience is food. Even though they, like, so much, I always am like, oh, it's the themed hotel. It's the parks. It's the rides. It's the entertainment. The food is not just an accessory. The food is really one of the things I really look forward to. And I assume you do too. So I hope you enjoyed. And if you hate any of these, fight me. I mean, I'll defend myself. I put Nine Dragons on this list. I've been cyberbullied for ranking rides. Okay, I'm not even going to tell you what the ranking was. I don't want to get into it, but I ranked it for a reason. Anyway, thank you for listening. Wow, I guess I carry trauma from that. I didn't even know. But Nine Dragons, go there and then we'll fight. But like, go there. It's so good. It's so good. The chicken. I ate Pearl's Kindermule. I gave her the broccoli. I ate like most of her chicken. It was really good. It was so good. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed, and I'll see you next week. Okay, love you, bye.
Taxes was feeling so stuck. Sitting in traffic, squeezing into a parking spot, all to squeeze in getting tax help during your lunch break. Now Taxes is a TurboTax expert who does your taxes for you, while you go about your day getting real-time notifications about their progress and the most money back guaranteed. Now this is Taxes, Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service, real-time updates only in iOS mobile apps. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.
Hi, Carly. This is Lonnie, a subscriber. I'm a Platinum Castaway Club member with the Disney Cruise Line, and I've so enjoyed all your episodes about the cruises. I'm so happy you enjoyed The Wonder. I was on it just last month for their 15-night repositioning cruise from Sydney to Honolulu, and it was the longest cruise I've ever been on, and we kind of had a lot of sea days, but we had so much fun. You mentioned in the last episode about the beignets at Tiana's Place. Did you know that you can order beignets at the French Quarter? They prepare them to order, so they might be a little better than what you had as a dessert. French Quarter is that place that's kind of the cafe bar section right down the hall from Tiana's. Anyway, I was calling because I think one thing your readers might want to know about the Royal Gathering is that it doesn't matter what your status is for signing up for it. Normally, for everything else, the higher your status, the earlier you can sign up for things, except for the Royal Gathering. So the date that they open signups online is always after the final payment deadline for everyone. So it means everybody, including brand new first-time cruisers, can sign up. You just have to set an alarm for the date that it opens. It opens at midnight on East Coast time, which means for those of us on the West Coast, we can sign up at 9 o'clock at night. And just make sure you're logged in and look for Royal Gathering on your shipboard activities. So if you feel like a lot of things are sold out because you haven't ever been on a Disney cruise before, you can sign up for the Royal Gathering. Thanks so much, Carly. Bye.
Lonnie, thank you so much for your call, especially because I gotta say, as someone who went on the 15-night sailing on the Disney Wonder, I do feel like you live in a hotel and I stayed there for a few nights. Like, you have so much seniority, so much expertise about this ship because you lived on it for half of a month, which is amazing. So I'm so grateful to have someone call in who truly knows this ship backwards and forwards because they were on it for a long, long time. Also, just to mention an aside, I didn't realize until recently, I went to lunch with Becky Mencken of Mouse Fan Travel, of MEI Travel, who you know from this podcast, our beloved travel agent partners. Yes, we're friends in real life. I went to lunch with Becky the other day. I mean, we're talking about cruises, and I didn't realize that those, like, big, long cruises, like I think the Panama Canal might be one of them, like the 15-night repositioning. I didn't realize that, like, that was a badge of honor, that if you do that, it's, like, full bragging rights, which is very cool. I used to just think, like, oh, you had 15 nights free. I didn't realize, like, oh, it's a point of pride. So I want to say, I am very impressed that you went on this 15-night cruise. I think it's very cool. And I hope that other Castaway Club members respect you. Now, I say Castaway Club because that is Disney's loyalty program. You get kind of like every sailing, it gets counted as a sailing, depending, not even like how long it is doesn't matter. It's just how many sailings you go on. And you can rise through the ranks. Gold, platinum, pearl is the 25 cruise. I aspire to be pearl. Better be pearl one day. Pearl's gotta be pearl. But anyway, like you said, and like you pointed out, thank you so much for pointing this out. I'm so glad you called. That yes, there usually is a hierarchy to signing up for everything, but for Royal Gathering, status doesn't matter. And I guess I just never put that specifically together to say out loud. So I'm so grateful to you that yes, you can book it. And yes, thank you for the reminder, of course, that it's 12 p.m. midnight, 9 p.m. West Coast. I, as you know, in the episode I did a few weeks ago, I goofed on booking the Princess Gathering, the Royal Gathering, because I was on an airplane going from Orlando to, and I missed it, but it all worked out. And I just want to say about the beignets, thank you for bringing this up, because I was advised online by, I think it was someone else, that you can go to the French Quarter and you can get them with a coffee. I think it's like that. You can get one with a coffee and it's like a set price or something. And I was going to do it. I was going to leave breakfast with my family and go do it. But I disliked the beignets so much at Tiana's restaurant that I was like, I'm on vacation. I shouldn't do the extra bit of work. But now that I know, I should have done it. Next time I'm on the Wonder, I'm going to get the beignets there to taste test, because again, I disliked the ones at Tiana so much I didn't even want to put in the effort to spend a few bucks to get one, because those you pay for at French Quarter. At the restaurant, they are included complimentary. Thank you so much for a true cruiser for calling in. I appreciate it so much. Thank you. And I hope you have fun on your next cruise. I one day aspire to do something like a 15 night, but I don't think I could do it. I gotta get off the ship too much. Wow, 15 nights. I mean, that's really impressive. Okay, I'm going to keep yapping about 15 nights unless I go. Thank you for calling. Bye. That's our show. Thank you all so much for listening. You can rate, review, and follow us on Apple Podcasts, or rate and follow us on Spotify. If you listen, you know this. We appreciate it. We love everyone who's done it. Again, I read them a few weeks ago, and I was so flattered and honored. It was so nice. Thank you for spending your time with me. I'm so happy to join you while you're doing dishes, or while you're driving in the car, or while you're running errands. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy we get to hang out. Isn't that nice? It's nice. You can give us a call at any time at 747-CHURROS. Send a voice note or email it to 747-CHURROS@gmail.com. We will be doing a Churros Hotline episode. Probably, we have a lot of travel stuff coming up. I think I slated it for like a month and a half from now. So if you have any questions that you've been kind of sitting on and you're like, oh, I don't like to use the phone. I get it. I'm the same way. Even though my job is literally talking out loud, I do not like calling people on the phone at all. But if you are brave and willing to do it, we would love to hear from you at 747-CHURROS. You can no longer buy merchandise. We shut down the shop, something I'm feeling great about. We had a wonderful run. Thank you to everyone who placed an order. At the end, we sold almost everything. We have so many kids shirts, which I guess Pearl's now just gonna be like a walking billboard, which I don't know how I feel about that, but regardless, we sold almost everything, adult size, almost every hat. Like, truly, thank you so much for all your support and your continued support. I also went to a birthday party over the weekend, and someone I was talking to said they see Very Amusing merch all over Los Angeles. What? Where are you? Come find me. Oh my God. I think it's happened once where I ran into someone on the street. Oh no, it was the same person twice. But if I was just like at the Grove and I saw someone wearing very amusing merchandise, I think my brain would melt inside my skull. Oh! Thank you for wearing the stuff. Thank you for liking it. I love it too. I think it came out really good. And we have a lot more fun stuff ahead that I'm announcing soon, which I'm not mentioning in this podcast because I don't know exactly what day I'm going to share it. It might be the day this comes out. But stay tuned. Big news coming. Big news coming. You can follow me at Carly Wiesel across the internet. You know where to find me. And join the Foamily at facebook.com/groups/Carly Wiesel. For 99 cents a month, subscribe to my Instagram. I post little extras. I posted about a celebrity sighting over the weekend. Ooh la la. And I just like to do a lot of stuff, especially after a trip. And with so many trips coming up, I can't recommend it enough. 99 cents a month. And if you have, we're still trying to troubleshoot errors. I know a lot of people have a lot of errors signing up for this. Try reporting the error to Instagram by shaking your phone. Report it, shaking and doing it again and again. Hopefully that'll work. Again, if you know anyone who like works in tech at Meta, please reach out. I've been trying to get this fixed for so long and I cannot find the right department. It's very frustrating. I want people to have a good experience, and I really, really detest that this little bit of tech oopsies is standing in their way. I don't like it. I don't like it. I'm trying to fix it for you, and I'm coming up empty. This episode was edited kindly by Jeff Fox. Thanks so much for listening. See you real soon.
Hi, honey, it's Mom. Okay, that intro, I was dying. Oh, my God, I can't take it. I was able to make out Pearl's hello and welcome to very amusing, and the rest was just adorable babble. Please do this every week. I have played it like 100 times. I made you send me a copy. I love and adore her, and if I have to be replaced, who better than by that adorable cutie pie? Dying from her voice, it is the cutest thing I've heard ever. Going on the Disney Wonder for her birthday was just brilliant. Happy birthday, Pearl. What a wonderful idea. I swear she's grown up so much just from that weekend on the cruise. My new favorite line of my life, that I might have to have it in like in a poster or a magnet for my fridge: my mom has a permanent space in my cabin stateroom for perpetuity. I am dying. Sorry, not sorry, Ben. I am back in. I love you, but I'm back in. You did the baby crawl, honey. You know, it's not like a new Instagram thing. You did this when you were a little infant. It was the diaper dash, and it was at Carson Perry Scott. I don't think you remember, but this was a contest where you crawl across and you win prizes. So you were a crawling baby at the time, and I definitely have pictures. You started out really good, and halfway through you decided to sit up and start talking to the other kids. So nothing has changed, but I do have pictures to prove it. Don't feel bad about that beautiful ring that you saw in the Disney Wish. It was beautiful. But by the way, your birthday's coming up soon, and there might be a little jewelry in your future, possibly diamonds. I promise you, I prefer to give it to you now instead of later. So I really enjoy watching you wear everything all at once, everything I give you. It's wonderful. What a great trip. I love you so much, Carly. I love you so much, Pearl. I love you so much, Disney Ships, and I'm back in. I'm back, baby. Love you. Bye.